It is Thursday, August the 29th of 2024. Overcast skies, 61 degrees in Wausau. The time is 8:07. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up here on the program at 8:20, we'll be talking about your Labor Day holiday forecast as we get closer and closer to the weekend. A nice long weekend. And we'll talk to Brittany Merlot. That's coming up in just about 13 minutes or so. Then at 8:34, we'll have a conversation with Wausau East head football coach Tyler Kramer. Lumberjacks 1-0 on the season after a one-point win over Westby last week. They travel to La Crosse Logan tonight for their week two game. We'll talk about what to expect from East on the gridiron this season. And then coming up in hour number two at 9:20, we'll be talking to 85th Assembly District candidate Yi Leng Zhang. He is the Democratic challenger to incumbent Pat Snyder, and we'll talk to Yi Leng Zhang, a very important race, not only here in central Wisconsin, but potentially in terms of which party will control the state assembly after the November election. So a big Thursday on tap, but, you know, that would be enough for a normal Thursday morning. But we're going to add a little bit more sugar here to start things off as we are joined by Up North News host Pat Kreitlow. Pat, good morning.
Oh, you think of me as sugar. That's nice.
I could call you handsome.
No, this is not a Luke Mathers situation here, okay? There's no need to butter up over here.
I appreciate it because you, I know, are heading off on a long weekend, which is terrific. It's a perfect time to take the extra day to have then Monday. And really, frankly, because I know you know it as well as anybody being a former candidate, that the unofficial start of the fall campaign is Labor Day, right?
Oh, very much so. Then, and again, that one is not a weekend off. That is, you know, you're running full tilt with the parades and the picnics and everything else. And I have just finally, in my you know, pre-elderly wisdom here, figured out to try to tack on extra days to already long weekends. And so, for working all the extra time at the Democratic convention, I'm gonna get things started later today and extend that weekend a bit because, yeah, like you said, from Labor Day onward, you know, it's game on.
Absolutely. And I mentioned that coming up later in the show, I'll be talking to Assembly District 85th candidate Yi Leng Zhang. And I know that you've been talking to a lot of folks involved with the Democratic Party, both, you know, here in Wisconsin, and then you had a chance to be in Chicago last week as well. And we've been hearing recently more optimism from Democrats that perhaps the state assembly is within reach. What is your take? What is your feeling in terms of what the Democrats' chances are of getting the assembly in November?
I'm going to give that answer that almost nobody gives in politics or talk radio. I don't know. Because I would like to give a more informed answer, which would mean kind of studying the races and which ones really appear to be within reach. Are there really 15 races where Democrats could flip those seats and take control? And So I'm not going to say I'm skeptical. I'm going to say that if Democrats are campaigning as if that is an attainable goal, then they are very smart, because, you know, every little bit helps. And if you don't get to the majority in this cycle, then maybe you do, you know, 2 years later. So I'm to me, that's going to be the big race this year, besides, of course, the president and the U.S. Senate race. You've got your congressional races. But I think we haven't really started talking about the potential of the assembly changing hands. And like you said, it now means every race counts for something, especially there in the Wausau area.
Yeah, this is one of those that I was looking at some of the maps that give you the breakdowns on what the partisan breakdown is. You know, again, I'm a little skeptical in terms of how perfect it is, but I think it's fairly accurate, and the breakdown is 49-49 for the 85th, so that obviously makes it one of those where hopefully the battle of the ideas wins and the better candidate wins, as opposed to you could run a great race, but if you're negative 20 starting at, it's sort of like starting the 100-yard dash at the Olympics or 100 meters at the Olympics and being down 20 meters.
It's kind of like saying the 8th congressional district out there in northeast Wisconsin. People are saying that it's a heavily Republican district, and so it would be tough for Dr. Kristen Lierley to win that open seat. But as she pointed out, it's an open seat. It no longer has a popular Republican incumbent. And so you have to campaign like every race is a winnable race, given some of the wild cards in the political environment this year.
How I wanted to ask you, and I forgot to ask you this right after the primary, because I'm a huge fan of Katrina Shanklin. I've seen her. I've had her on the program. She's a wonderful, I think, legislator. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, because I don't know as much about Rebecca Cook, and you obviously, in that area, know her a lot better. How good of a candidate is Rebecca Cook, and how good of a legislator do you think she'd be?
Well, how good of a candidate, I think the proof is in the pudding, not just in winning this primary, but in winning the most counties 2 years ago. Now, Brad Paff won the primary because some of the counties he won, especially his home county of La Crosse, you know, a lot of votes there. But what she proved is that she wasn't just restricted to one part of the district, that she worked the entire district to build support. Katrina Shanklin is one of the best legislators I've ever known. There's nobody that doesn't respect her, and I think that there are great things coming. I think that if you were going to pin something down on the reason why the primary turned out like it did, it had much less to do with Katrina or Becca personally. It just seemed to be a year where voters, again, are fatigued. And I think you can be the best incumbent legislator out there, and people are still going to look at the fresh face instead. Mm-hmm. And you know, the knock on Becca Cook is very easy. She's never served an elected office, and Katrina Shanklin made that clear. There apparently are enough voters there now going, well, you know what, let's try that. Let's try somebody who, you know, isn't already caught up in all of the partisan battles. And I think even now, the reason I like her odds in November is that while Derek Van Orden is only, you know, been an incumbent for less than 2 years, he's still the incumbent. And Becca Cook is seen as somebody where they can go, you know, let's hit the reset button on all of this. Do we really want such, you know, such an angry guy, such a, you know, clearly right-wing social media troll as our congressman? And instead, I think they'll go with Becca, who continues to hustle around the district and build support.
I agree with the idea that right now, I think, and I get the sense around here as well, and I was actually talking to a person that's working for the Harris campaign here in Wausau, new press secretary, came by yesterday, and I was just talking to him in my office, and one of the parts of the conversation I said, you know, he's asking me about the lay of the land here, and I do think there is a fatigue on the negativeness, a fatigue on the, I don't know even what the right word would be, on the politics we've seen over the past 8 to 10 years. And I think that even in the 7th, which is obviously an uphill struggle for a Democrat right now, I'm curious to see whether or not Kyle Kilborn is able to give Tom Tiffany a real race this time. I think that there is a fatigue on the Tom Tiffany type of politics. And I don't think it's just, you know, in the 7th or just part of the state. I think it's pretty much around the country. Do you have a sense that there is a real fatigue, even for those who consider themselves conservatives, that they want something a little more optimistic, more, for lack of a better term, Reagan-like?
I do, but not nearly to the degree that I think you find it elsewhere. I think the 7th up north is still going to be an extremely tough nut to crack. And I know the folks with the Kilbourn campaign aren't going to like hearing this, but I think you're going to have a lot of people up there that tend to vote Republican, but they want to show their independence. And if they're not already big Trump fans, but they are still conservative Republicans, what they're going to do is look at that ballot and go, you know what, this year I'm voting for Kamala Harris, or this, you know, this year I'm voting for Tammy Baldwin. Mm-hmm. And then they're voting Republican the rest of the way down the ballot because they want to be able to say that they vote for both parties. So the Kilbourn campaign really needs to tap into that fatigue that you just talked about and let people know that you shouldn't just vote for like a token Democrat to send a message. You should look at incumbents like Tom Tiffany and again say, maybe it's time for a fresh face here rather than somebody that's looking to, you know, bulldoze the entire 7th district if given the chance.
And also, what has Tom Tiffany done? And again, I live in the 7th, I work in the 7th, and I really, other than being a reliable vote for MAGA, this guy is, I don't get, and again, one of the things that I've said for a long time when I talk to folks about how can Tammy Baldwin keep basically outpacing other Democrats is because she works. And I just think that Tom Tiffany doesn't work. And that's in addition to all his, you know, stuff, he's not a worker. And that's frustrating.
When you're back in the district or back in the state, like a senator is, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that most of us never see. Now, if you're Tammy Baldwin, again, you can't meet everybody, but the more you're on the road meeting people, the more you impress that small group, and then they talk to people, and they talk to people, and that grows, and that builds support. By contrast, when somebody like a Tom Tiffany comes in, he's going to, you know, this county Republican Party meeting, and this county Republican Party meeting, and this Republican dinner, and this group, and much less of the type of trips that are beyond photo ops, and he's not showing a record of actual service to constituents. And so he doesn't build that base of support up the way that, say, a Tammy Baldwin does, which translates into going ahead of the other Democrats when election day comes. That's what it means to work the district. It's what Tammy Baldwin does. It's what Becca Cook's been doing. Mm-hmm. It's frankly what Kamala Harris has been doing, mm-hmm. coming into Wisconsin. Look for the people who work for you and give them your support.
He is the host of Up North News Radio every weekday morning, 6 till 8 a.m. right here on 98.9 WXCU, the XCO, and on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pat Kreitlow. Pat, again, thanks for your time. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you next week.
All right. See you later.
Again, Pat Kreitlow joins us every Thursday, top of the show at 8:06 here on the program. Coming up, we're going to talk to someone we talk to every day at 8:20, meteorologist Brittany Merlot. She's straight ahead. Talk about what looks to be a good-looking weekend forecast. That's next here on 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can share your thoughts with the show by either calling or texting at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. You can also use your Civic Media app to call or text as well. And in fact, just a couple of minutes ago, we got a text from Joshua of Wausau while we were talking to Pat and talking about the campaign. And Joshua of Wausau sent a text saying, "I'm very tired of the 10-year-long campaign by Donald Trump." And that is true because
it feels like 10 years, doesn't it?
Well, and we see real quickly before we get to Brittany, just a real quick comment on that, is once the election 4 years ago ended, he started his campaign right away. And I think for a healthy democracy, a healthy system of government, we need to have a situation where we have our elections, and then whether you're a Democrat or Republican, independent, anything in between, you allow then the people that win the election to govern, not have a constant cycle of campaign. And I think that is also one reason why we're seeing, I think, a little bit of fatigue from a lot of folks, in addition to all the commercials we're seeing already we're going to see for the next 9 weeks or so. But again, we thanks to Joshua of Wausau for sending in his text. And again, we would love to hear from you. Again, either call or text 715-382-9297. But now it is time for Brittany Merlot. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good. Overcast, a little bit chilly, but I like the coolness in the air as we start off the day walking from the parking ramp over here to our station in downtown Wausau. But you've been talking all week long that in terms of some potential precipitation, and maybe, again, as we've talked about so often, a bit of a drencher, it would be Thursday night and maybe early Friday, and it's looking like, as I look out there right now, that it has the feeling of that. Is that still in the forecast?
Unfortunately, it is. I think people are fatigued from hearing about me talking about showers and storms that are going to hit hard, too. But I'm just the messenger.
Again, no blaming Brittany. We will not blame Brittany. Again, the messenger. And the thing about it, we want to know about it so we don't get caught in the middle of a drencher without our umbrella. So you're actually providing a great service for us.
We just got to stand down there in downtown Wausau with all those umbrellas.
Right? And it's all right.
I tried that.
Walk down there.
It doesn't work.
Try to jump from one to the other? It does not work. You're right.
But it was a good attempt. But it's definitely not going to work tonight. We have so much headed our way. So what's going to happen today throughout the afternoon is nothing. It's just going to be cloudy out there. Temperatures rising to about those low 70s. I'm looking at a high of 73 degrees today, and it's going to be a little bit breezy too. So that's really all we're dealing with throughout the entire afternoon. If you are driving and heading out for Labor Day weekend already, if you took PTO for tomorrow, smart move. But if you are driving around, keep in mind that some isolated showers and storms are definitely possible further south, and some of those could be strong to severe earlier in the evening. Now, the big line is headed our way overnight. Mm. That looks like it wants to hit northwest Wisconsin, so up towards Superior, the St. Croix Falls area. That's going to be around 7 o'clock tonight that starts to move in. That's where it's going to be the strongest, the heaviest hitting. They're looking at anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of rainfall. Mm. They could see trees knocked down, high winds. So that's how it's going to start. It's definitely going to be severe warned. Then as it starts to head towards us, I'm thinking kind of around 9, maybe 10 o'clock or so, it'll head our way. It starts to weaken a little bit. We could still see some gusty winds up to about 50 miles per hour. We could still be dealing with some heavy downpours, probably around definitely a half an inch to at least maybe an inch and a half is possible for totals here. So we could see some small hail. And as that system continues to push through, it'll only be here for about a few hours. And as that pushes through, we clear out and a high pressure system moves in. So this is the last big event that we have to deal with, honestly, for the next week, to be honest. So it's just tonight. And after that passes, we cool down, we clear out. I mean, we have a ton of sunshine all weekend long. Friday, we will be a little bit breezy, still near 80, still hit 80 on Saturday as those winds start to calm. And then another reinforcing cold front pushes in. That's when we really have that fall feel for Sunday and into Monday. We've got the low 70s, maybe even upper 60s. Yeah.
I got to tell you, when I look at Monday and the Labor Day parade here in Wausau, which I will be announcing, sunny and low 70s. Is that true?
That is true.
That is my perfect day. And if I'm going to be out there announcing and having all those people marching in the parade, I think I will not blame you for the rain tonight, but I will give you credit for the perfect Labor Day forecast. How about that?
Deal.
But that looks fantastic. And as you said, I mean, I was looking ahead. It just says sunny and sunny and sunny and sunny. Talk about for the kids that are, you know, I know that kids start school in the public schools after Labor Day. They're going to have they're going to be looking out the window next week and saying, boy, we could have used one more week of summer because it's going to be so nice all week, it looks like.
It really is. And I think it's just perfect, too. I'm so glad that families and friends and everybody actually just gets to sit down and enjoy Labor Day weekend. Whatever your plans are, they're going to be just fine. And like you said, it's going to be hard to go back to school after that weekend. But hey, it's better than a rainy Sunday, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Well, what are the details as we get closer and closer to that Labor Day weekend?
Mostly cloudy today. High temperatures still very comfortable in those low 70s. Those showers and storms hitting late tonight through the overnight hours. Everything will be gone. We'll be dry and breezy as we go into tomorrow. High temperatures nearing 80. We'll hold highs near 80 on Saturday with abundant sunshine. Winds start to calm. And then we've got a little front that wants to move through Saturday night. If you're headed up further north in the state for the weekend, you could see some rain showers. Here, we're not going to see any of them, because that's the reinforcing cold front. That's when we're going to feel that fall feel for highs on Sunday of only 72 degrees and Monday about 71 degrees.
Fantastic. And again, we get past tonight then. Fantastic. So again, Brittany, thanks for the information. Have a great rest of your Thursday, and we will catch you tomorrow for the kickoff of the holiday weekend.
Woohoo! The unofficial end to summer. Sounds good. I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, Brittany.
Bye.
That is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Right now in downtown Wausau, it is overcast and 61 degrees. Winds are out of the east at 9 miles per hour. The dew point is 58. Relative humidity of 90%. The barometer at 30.20 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. Again, still to come on the program in the second hour of the show at 9:20, we'll spend some time with 85th Assembly District candidate Democrat Yi Leng Zhang. Again, very busy guy. I tell you, he's got so many hats that he wears, but we're going to talk about his campaign to win the seat in the 85th for the Democrats. That's at 9:20. Coming up next, it's an information update, news, weather, and sports. And then after that, we will have a conversation that Jason Foster and myself had last night with Wausau East head football coach Tyler Kramer. Again, the Lumberjacks started their season off with a one-point win last Friday. They are heading off to La Crosse tonight, trying to beat the rain. In fact, they moved up the kickoff time of the East game at La Crosse Logan to 6 o'clock for the Wausau East football fans. So please note that, 6 o'clock kickoff. But we'll talk to the coach, Tyler Kramer, coming up after the information update. The time is 8:29. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Every Wednesday night, 6 to 8 p.m., we focus on high school sports on the Big High School Sports Show. Jason Foster and myself talk to area coaches and student-athletes, recap the action and more. And last night, we had an opportunity to speak to Wausau East head football coach Tyler Kramer. Lumberjacks starting off their season with a win last week. They're at La Crosse Logan tonight. And started off our conversation by asking the coach about the feeling around the team starting 2024.
I think our easiest transition was, it's not our first year going back to varsity anymore. It's, we got that out of the way. We got a couple wins, a couple quality wins against one playoff team and a conference team at the time. And so not having that hurdle to jump over, and then just knowing that, okay, guys, this is when it gets real. We're going to push this. And our senior leaders, Jesse Nemgetsik, Jaden Garrett, a couple other guys that I could mention in there too, it's, they've been all about it while they're dealing with their other sports too, and it's just been easy in that way. Easier transition than I think what I expected for the summer.
So, like, that's always what's really interesting to me. We sat here at this exact time, maybe a week or two off, but we had the Spash coach on, and they ended up being conference champs last year in the Valley. And from year one, that was his year one. Last year was your year one, kind of back in it. What's the difference? I mean, you kind of answered a little bit, but forget about conference and kids. As a head coach, what's different for you? Like, how did you approach the off season differently? How did you approach the beginning of this season? How are things? Is it slowing down? Is it the staff? What's different for you? What makes it better?
I think staff-wise, just having clear responsibilities for everybody. We have a really young staff from pretty much everybody, and we've had some really good leadership from we have an all-star freshman staff. We have Dan Garrett on the staff as well that have showed a lot of leadership in that way. Making sure that they know what to do every day. Our seniors are just pouring on the support of the younger guys, and that's made it so I don't have to keep tabs on the sophomores, make sure they got a ride to practice. It's not one I have to force the seniors to. They're asking the boys to do that kind of stuff. And when you're installing an offense or installing a defense, when you have a year removed, like a year you could take away from that, so that they're just ready to go right away. Getting our camp times in, everybody was good with lifting all summer. It was just much easier transition than I expected for this summer.
That's great.
Let me ask you about last week's game and to have a one-point win in week number one. I mean, that's a great way to start things off, to be challenged, to have to play four quarters of football, to have to produce both on the offensive side and then get that stop at the on the defensive side at the end. What were the highlights for your team last week? What did you really like about what you saw in that one-point win over Westby?
I think what I really liked seeing out of them, and Westby is a quality, well-coached team. I think the only team they lost in the regular season last year was Aquinas. Who ended up going on and be a state champ. Knowing that it is a smaller school, but we're still going to have really good competition. They have some great athletes on us, and the kids just kept pushing. When you go into halftime 7-7, and it's a grind the whole time. We got some guys playing a lot of time on both sides of the ball. I think coming out of halftime, you knew it was a little bit of a different energy than what we would have had in that kind of game last year. And that was my biggest excitement out of all of it, and the kids were just ready to go. I mean, it's been weeks and weeks and weeks, and I'll tell kids if I go to a basketball tournament over the summer, I'm at wrestling stuff, and they'll ask me about football. So I'm like, we'll talk about football once we get to football season. We'll get there. But just seeing their excitement through all of it and seeing the sidelines be as electric as it was, and the student section was great. I think just happy to get back to Tom Field and get that first one on the board.
So who are the 2024 Lumberjacks? Give us some names. Like, we're coming to the game on Thursday night down in La Crosse. Who should we be looking for? Who are kind of your stars on both sides of the ball? And then who are your leaders? What's exciting?
I think, guys you'll notice right away, kids like Jesse Nemgetsik, who obviously shined during the basketball season as well. He's told us it's his mission to show everybody he's not just a basketball player. And I think he showed that last week, his play on both sides of the ball. A kid like Caden Meverden had a really good interception for us last week, forced a fumble on a long run for them that ended up turning the ball over. Elmer Hurd, Charlie Cayley, I could go on for a long time. And our biggest leader is probably Jaden Garrett. He's the voice of the defense and kind of organizes things on offense as well, not being a quarterback. And our quarterback, Davis Winter, transitioned to quarterback just last year as a junior, and he's doing everything we're expecting of him. And then a new guy, Ian Stahl, busted out a 75-yard run. Middle of the game, that he's pretty freaking quick. I was happy with that one. One of those ones, he bounced it to the outside, and you worry about it a little bit, and he was just gone.
Again, we're talking to Tyler Kramer, head football coach at Wausau East High School, here on the Big High School Sports Show on WXCO. Those names you mentioned, as you said, you know, with Napgezik, when he had 5 catches, 105 yards last week. Your quarterback, Davis Winter. You talked about Garrett. I mean, the names you mentioned, they're all multi-sport guys. Mm. How important is the success that these guys have had in these other sports to try and help bring success now on the gridiron here this fall?
I think the biggest thing is we look at these other programs, and with where our program's been, is these kids have learned how to win already. And they know what it takes to get to that level, the work that it takes to put in. I mean, we have a kid like Elmer Hurd who could qualify for state for wrestling this year, and Jesse Nemgetsik, who was first-team all-conference, and Jaden was an all-conference player for basketball, and Charlie Cayley was in those names too. Having that success and knowing what it takes to be a winning team, winning culture, it's easier for us to push that kind of stuff as coaches, because it is not just coming from us. It's coming from those leaders as well.
One of the things, kind of to piggyback off of that, one of the things that I've noticed being across the river and competing against East in all sports is you. Kind of in that same role, like being on the wrestling staff, wrestling coaching staff, and going to basketball games and seeing you in the student section, or like, what role does that play in helping with that team chemistry and that team bonding for you with relationships with the kids? But also, what impact does that have on the kids when they see you at all those other events and part of those other staffs as well?
I think what I tell people about is I'm just excited to be part of Wausau East, and I want the kids to know that. So if they see that I'm excited, I hope they're excited too. And I have a lot of coaches on my staff that coach multiple sports, including myself, and just showing your face at events. And I tell all my coaches, I go, if you got time, just go to something. Yeah. You'll probably have a little bit more fun than you think. And whatever type of game it is, I try to go to one sport per season. Basketball, I'll go to a bunch, obviously, and we're doing that. And I get so dang excited about it, especially with the basketball season we had last year. So it gets me going. But just showing my face shows those kids that I'm going to support anything that they do, even if it's not just football.
What is the one thing that I kind of noticed about the coaches at East, whether it's yourself, whether it's Coach Garrett during the winter, whether it's Coach Winter during the baseball season, you got some guys that really want to be at Wausau East, mm-hmm. and having stability. And that's, I think, been one of the major factors that's hurt Wausau East athletics maybe in the past decade. But it looks like you got a bunch of guys and girls and everybody else that's part of this athletic program bringing a little stability to Wausau East, and also a real want to lift Wausau East and these student athletes. How important is that love for the red and black? Yeah. Basically,
I think the stability is a huge piece of it. I know when we had talked about transitioning between staffs and head coaches and whatever, we had seven head coaches in 12 years. And that's something I know when I played there, we had a couple right before I was there, we had a different one, and right afterwards, we had another three. And just sitting there and going through that, besides just the scheme part of it, where you're changing every year with that, you don't know who's going to be there tomorrow. And I, the way I always sum it up is I want the kids to understand I am there tomorrow for whatever they need it for. I know Coach Garrett's the same way, Coach Winter's the same way, and we want to be at Wausau East every day. And you see us, even me and Dan joke around about it in the spring, is that we're there, even though we don't work at the school, we're there more than most people. But we just enjoy being there, and the stability is a huge piece of it in any program.
So we touched on it a little bit earlier. What does it mean for the program? Like, great win week one, going to go get that second win this week, hopefully, and then you get into the conference season. What does that mean from an outlook standpoint, from a coaching staff and from the team, knowing that you're not going to go up against a Spash who's got 2,200 kids in their school and the Everest with their, like, in the tradition, that sort of thing? How does that change the mindset, and does it make things easier, different, or is it just whoever the next opponent is, we're playing them, and that really doesn't affect it?
I think the way I push it is always that it's just different opponents, and you play the game a little bit different when you're playing schools that are suiting up 80 kids during the game, and we're suiting up about 50 for varsity, and it's just different. It's a different style of play. I think the boys are excited about it, and just pushing that, just because it's a different conference against smaller schools, nobody's worse than anybody. I want to push that every day, and knowing that, I mean, we'll face Mosinee, who was a world beater last year, and Medford, who I think can challenge a lot of teams around the state just for them being them, and a lot of other teams in the conference that just present a lot of different things, especially when you're going against a power run quite often, which is a little bit different than what the Valley was showing us last year. So there will be a lot of differences, but the kids know that we just need to be ready for it every week, and I think it's been a good mindset that they've stayed in. There's no relaxing.
And it looks like a fun conference, actually. I think last week we were talking about some of the changes in all these conferences, whether it's the GNC or the Valley or the CWC, large and small. I think they've all been improved in multiple ways. And when you look at some of the potential rivalries you're going to have on the gridiron, I mean, you got some old conference rivals like Merrill and Antigo and Rhinelander that people who've been following East football for a lot of years remember being in the Wisconsin Valley Conference. You said it, Mosinee just down the road, and obviously an exceptional football program. And no matter what sport it is, there's these kids know each other, and they, I think, like to beat each other. And then you mentioned Medford, who's been such a solid football program as well. I mean, this is it's an interesting conference, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree fully. And it's everybody presents their. I mean, Mosinee is a little different offensively than any other team that we're going to play against. And I think the kids are just excited about it, playing against different opponents. Obviously, people ask me a lot about the log game and miss the log game. It's, but I'm excited to develop those new rivalries at the same time. I know we took a knock against Merrill at the end of the year. I know the boys have that one circled on the schedule, and Mosinee is one that everybody wants to mark at all times because it's a challenge. It's a big challenge. That's a great program that's really well coached.
So I'm probably stealing your next thunder here, Chad, but kind of getting into it. the one question mark on the schedule right now then, with before you jump into that conference, is La Crosse Logan. Yep. So what do you know, what can you tell us about La Crosse Logan and what you guys are expecting when you head down there tomorrow?
Offensively, they run similar to us, like a very like spread, pro style, a lot of inside zone stuff. They have a great quarterback that I think ran for 1,200 yards last year. I mean, he's a big part of their offense, obviously, and just keeping him contained, I think, is a big part of our game plan and just making sure that we know where he is at all times. Defensively, I mean, I think if our offense runs where it can, we can compete with anybody, and I think we'll be one of the fastest teams on the field no matter who we're playing against. And we always have athletes with us. It's just making sure that they're getting to the right spots and getting those things done. And I think La Crosse Logan is going to be one of the better teams on our schedule just historically and school size-wise and everything, and we're excited to play tomorrow.
What's the biggest question mark you got going into the rest of the season? I mean, you've obviously found out something, probably more than something, just last week and so far in practice, but for your team to maybe reach some of the goals I'm sure that you have within that locker room and on that field, what's the biggest question mark? What's the area or areas that right now I'm not so sure at, but maybe if it comes together, then we can reach those goals? I mean, I guess in terms of going into the conference, knowing the types of teams, as you said, that you're going to be facing, is there anything that you say, hey, this is an area that we really have to focus on and it's going to be very important for us to win some football games?
I think just being able to change on the fly would be number one, because it's easy to stay in a base defense and run in your bread and butter plays, but what happens when those get stopped? And that takes a little bit of time going into varsity, because you don't have to do that with JV so much and JV too. So these kids that are new to it, just transitioning into that. But I believe those senior leaders will help us out a lot with that kind of stuff.
Anything else that you want to ask?
Well, I was just going to say, you'd mentioned earlier too that your coaching staff is, other than your freshman staff, your coaching staff is younger too. Yeah. And that's an area where, in addition to the kids, the staff will grow along with that too, those in-game adjustments and as you see things and how you prepare for games and how prepared you are and to have those things in your back pocket when those things come. So it's an exciting time.
Yeah, for sure.
And one final question, actually, because when we do have coaches, I kind of like to talk about the program as a whole, just not just the varsity, because again, I think we focus on the varsity, and obviously at Wausau East, I think it's an important question, because you had some troughs in terms of numbers and not be able to field a varsity team. How is the health of the general program right now? Obviously last year you're able to come back and win some football games. Now you're coming back here this year and have some, I think, some expectations to be very competitive in your new conference. What is the general health of the program from top to bottom? Do you feel like, hey, we're on the right track and this is something we can build on for the next few years?
I think that's exactly how I'd put it. I think we're on the right track. I believe this year we have the highest numbers we've had in probably 10 years. And we just want to keep building on that. Obviously, winning helps. I think that was a big piece of last year, getting those couple wins under our belt, and just kids being excited about football at Wausau East.
Head coach Tyler Kramer, the Wausau East Lumberjacks. Again, East at La Crosse Logan tonight, trying to go 2-0 on the young season. The time is 8:49. More to come. Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO. Friday night, the Marathon High School football team looks for a second straight win to start off the season. The Red Raiders travel to Auburndale. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Marathon Football on WXCO is brought to you by Marathon Park City, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Brickner's of Little Chicago, County Materials, the People State Bank, Marathon Cheese, the Dirks Group, Marathon Family Dentistry, the Marathon Athletic Club, Fisher Transportation, Morgan Sand and Gravel, Rip Falls Fabrication, and BS Taxidermy. It's Marathon at Auburndale in high school football, Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 on 98.9 WXCO, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Everything I thought that I knew just doesn't look so old.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Online at BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. You can also join us at Facebook.com. Go to the Bull Falls Radio page. Be able to see a video stream there. Add your questions and comments. And also make sure you know, again, that if you have a question or a comment or something you want to talk about, you can either call or text us. Real simple. We got multiple ways of doing it. Number one, get the Civic Media app. Real simple. Just download the free Civic Media app and then open up the Bull Falls Radio page. You get all the stations of Civic Media on that app. 20 stations. And the fifth one down is WXCO. Be able to open it up and be able to go to our website, send us an email, be able to listen to our live stream wherever you are. Have the Sports 2 and the Sports 3 streams there for our busy Friday nights of high school football, and also be able to call or text. Just hit a button to call, hear Ian Welsh's voice, and then push a button as well to send us a text. And you can also call or text us by just using your phone, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to call or text. The number works either way, so would love to hear from you and be part of the show as well. We just had Tyler Kramer, the Wausau East High School head football coach, on. And in fact, I had mentioned earlier that the game tonight between the Lumberjacks and La Crosse Logan had been moved from 7 to 6 p.m. It's actually been moved up even further because, as we heard earlier today, the potential of some rather drenching rainfall later on this evening. And, of course, La Crosse being in the western part of the state, the weather gets there earlier than it would get here. And they've moved it up another 3 hours. In fact, the Lumberjacks are heading, who knows, they could be heading off pretty soon to La Crosse because they're going to kick off now at 3 p.m. So a 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon kickoff. You don't see that too often in high school football. So, again, if you're a Wausau East High School football fan, their game, Varsity at La Crosse Logan, has been moved up due to potential weather to 3 p.m. this afternoon.
Also, better safe than sorry, right?
Absolutely. You want to play in the dry, not play when the rain is pounding on down. And
exactly.
You never know. And also, one of the things about early in the football season, I've gone through this, and you may have been here some of these nights as well. What's the worst thing? Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
Because if lightning comes, it's automatic. Yeah, it's automatic. You have to stop the play, and then you have to wait 30 minutes from the last lightning strike to start playing again. So once a lightning strike goes, then you reset the clock and you keep on doing it. And some nights it takes a long time to get those games back going. And this time of year where it's still warm and you still have thunderstorms.
Yeah, just keep that in mind.
Sometimes, so that's probably a smart thing to try to play earlier. So East and La Crosse Logan today at 3 o'clock.
Same thing applies with golf as well.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
It has quite a few stories about times where he was playing and the weather turned bad, he had to take shelter immediately. But you're never supposed to play in the stormy weather because
you got those metal sticks.
Is yeah, the clubs and the carts and anything metal? If lightning hits that, shocking.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, that was a dad joke.
That's a groaner.
My dad's jokes are rubbing off on me.
And I think the most famous instance of a golfer being struck by lightning is Lee Trevino, the legendary golfer. Back in the 1970s, they were playing a tournament in the Chicago area, the Western Open, and he got struck by lightning. He was very fortunate to survive it. I mean, it was very, very scary stuff.
Terrifying.
Quick note that tomorrow night we have a high school football twin bill, and then Saturday another high school football game here on Wausau's only radio home for high school play-by-play. Tomorrow night, Tom Weaver will be heading off to Auburndale as the Marathon Red Raiders take on the Auburndale Eagles. You'll be able to hear the action live right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 o'clock. I'll be over at Tom Field tomorrow night, as the Wausau West High School football team will be taking on the Hudson Raiders. That game can be heard live on the Sports 2 stream of BullFallsRadio.com and on the Civic Media app. So again, download that app, be able to go back and forth between the Marathon game and the Wausau West game. Sports 2 stream, 6:35 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff, and the game will also air on delay after the Marathon game here on 98.9 WXCO. And then Saturday, the Newman Catholic High School football team will kick off their season. Cardinals in 8-player football. 8-player only has 8 regular season games. They start a week later than the 11-player. And Newman will take on Phillips Saturday afternoon. Coverage begins with the pregame show at 12:35 and the opening kickoff at 1 p.m. So a busy weekend of high school football here on, again, we are proud, aren't we, Ian Welch? We are proud the only Wausau area, the Wausau radio station to bring us high school football, Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 12:30. Also, real quickly, it's going to be fun on Saturday because not only am I going to be there providing radio coverage, one of our other Civic Media radio stations will be covering WCQM. They cover Phillips football, so I'll get a chance to see some of our other Civic Media folks on Saturday, so that'll be very cool.
Awesome.
Don't fear, Ian. We're going to give you a proper introduction coming up after our information update, and I will give you as well a little tease into what the topic will be for your number for the day quiz later on.
Sounds good.
Also coming up, we will be joined by 85th Assembly District candidate Yi Lengzhong at 9:20 in hour number 2. Glad you could be with us. Chad Holmschul, 98.9 WXCO.